Philippians chapter number 4. I guess I hadn't been at the church too long, and we went completely through the book of Philippians, but I've got a thought on my heart tonight from over here in chapter 4 that I'd like to magnify for a few minutes tonight. Philippians chapter number 4. We were preaching last Wednesday night and Sunday night on trusting God in the dark places. And really here in the book of Philippians, you have the Apostle Paul. He is he's writing from prison. And I get tickled sometimes when I think about something I read years ago about Paul turning in a resume in a Baptist church. He said that not many churches would even think about having the Apostle Paul for a pastor, because everywhere he went, there's trouble stirred up. Amen. He ended up in bonds, ended up in chains. But it was not for doing wrong. It was for doing right. It was for doing the cause of Christ. I want to get to a scripture, but let's just read the chapter tonight. It's a rich chapter. The Bible said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown." Let me just back up on that just a minute. Look at that phrase, "my dearly beloved and longed for." Let me ask you a question tonight. Is church fellowshipping with the people of God and the saints of God, is that just something to do, or is that something God's people should long for? Say amen right there. Now let me tell you something tonight. Let me tell you something. He's writing from prison. How many of y'all have ever been sick for a period of time or hurt or injured and couldn't go to the house of God? Brother Houston, you long for it, don't you? You long for it. When you can't get there, amen, you just long for it. To be with the people of God. He said, "So stand fast to my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And that little statement right there reminds me of J. Vernon McGee. He says the word beloved a lot when he's preaching on the radio. You say he's in heaven, yeah, but he being dead yet speaketh, amen. He's still giving us the word of God. He said, "I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." I read that and I think about something Brother Mays said years ago. Brother Mays said, "The only way I've ever found out to get the deacons in one mind, one accord, Brother Ralph," he said, "was to put them in a Honda and invite them for steak." I'm glad we don't have that problem around here, amen, but I know what he's talking about. He said, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow," he said, "help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." And he's glad your name's in the book of life tonight. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." You remember what Jesus told his disciples? They came in off that trip and said, "Boy, the spirits are subject unto us." He said, "How be it in this? Rejoice not, but rather rejoice, because your name is written in heaven. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I remember several years ago, I was thinking along the lines of worry. The Bible said to be careful for nothing, so we're not supposed to worry. But, beloved, if we're not concerned, if we're not concerned about the lost, if we're not concerned about our children, if we're not concerned about our family, amen. If we're not concerned about our friends, if we're not concerned about the saints of God, we're not worth our salt. So I wonder, what's the difference between worry and concern? I believe as I looked at that scripture years ago, the Lord taught me what the difference is. Worry just wrings its hands and frets and says, "Oh my Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now?" But concern takes it to the Lord in prayer.
Concern takes it to the one who can do something about it. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's one of Brother Brian's favorite passages of Scripture. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were not also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Many times that passage of Scripture is taken out of context, as well as verse 19 in this Scripture. The Bible said here, notwithstanding you have well done, that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. Here's the statement that jumped out at me. He said, I am full. He said, I am full. You're looking now at a man that's in a dark place. You're looking at a man that's in a prison. You're looking at a man that's out of sight and with many people out of mind. But not those in Thessalonica. They're thinking about the man of God over there in the prison. And he said, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Then he said in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer tonight. And I want to look at this little statement, I am full, and talk about the riches that cannot be measured. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the good grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for this chapter in the Word of God. It's so rich, our Lord. We could learn so much from this precious man of God. I pray, Father, today that you would speak to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit tonight, our Father, help us to glean truth and understanding that make us more like Jesus in these days. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' precious name, we pray, and amen, and amen. I want to look tonight at the thought, the riches that cannot be measured. Here's a man that looks like he has nothing, and he has everything. And I'm going to tell you why tonight. That's what I want to dwell on in the message tonight. Years ago, I heard a statement, or I read it, I'm not sure which, but it said this, a man is not rich in respect to what he has. A man is rich in respect to what he wants. Beloved, if you don't want anything, amen, you're rich. If you're satisfied, you're rich. Amen. How many satisfied tonight? Amen. The Bible talked about having food and raiment. Thank God we've got so much more than that. We got a roof over our head, shoes on our feet. Nobody come in barefooted tonight. Everybody's probably got pretty decent tires on their car. Amen. And God said, beloved, listen, water, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The stuff changes. It's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. And the Apostle Paul's life, he's not rejoicing in the stuff. He's in the prison. He doesn't have any stuff what's been sent to him. And he's rejoicing, beloved, listen, in God's presence, in God's power, in God's people. Amen. There in that dark place, in that prison, the riches that cannot be measured. I believe Paul was rich, and I'll give you four reasons tonight. And I believe it's the same reason if you're a born-again child of God, you're rich. Amen. I know recently I got a note or a letter from a young lady in an email, and she putting herself down and putting herself down. And I've heard her do that in my presence. Amen. I've heard it, her put herself down. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. You're a child of the King. If you know Him tonight, you're my brother. If you know Him tonight, you're my sister. You're somebody, and you're somebody that's going somewhere. And I happen to believe soon. Amen. The King is coming. And so tonight, I'm going to give you three or four things here tonight that I thought about in the life of the Apostle Paul that are being exemplified in this passage of Scripture. Number one, we're rich, and Paul is rich because of the pardon that he received. Beloved, listen to me. Listen, there are people that say, well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I don't know how God could forgive me. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you done any worse than what the Apostle Paul did? Have you been killing the children of God? Amen. Have you been persecuting the church of God? He said he did it ignorantly in unbelief. And you and I, when we lived in our sin, amen, we were blind by our sin, blind by Satan, blind by this flesh in ourselves. And we did a lot of things that we had no business doing. But aren't you glad, thank God, just like for the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, here come one with a pardon. Here come one that said, hey, I can forgive you of what you've done. Amen. And I believe he's rich tonight because of the pardon that he received. Listen, many times I think we forget what that pardon cost. It cost heaven's best and cost Jesus his life. So that, Brother Rose, you used that statement so he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The happy Christians don't take that for granted. The happy Christians don't forget where God found them and the road he found them on, the ditch he found them in, the hell they were headed to. The happy people of God that are able to rejoice like Paul, even in the dark places in life, are those, beloved, that realize tonight, Brother Larry, you said it coming in. My dad used to say it all the time, better than I deserve. We deserve to be in hell tonight, being fried by the flames. But thank God, like the primitive quartet sing, only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart tonight. Amen. I'm not going to hell. Not going. I thank God it's all because of a pardon. It's not, listen, a lot of religion. The religions of the world, take them all. They're under one of two umbrellas. They're either under the umbrella of works, which is do. Do this, do that, don't do this, do that. Or they're under the umbrella of grace. Glory to God, over here it's due. Thank God, over here it's done. At Calvary, it's finished, amen. Here was a man that was rich. He was rich because of the pardon that he received. Let me tell you something tonight. Money couldn't buy that pardon. Money couldn't buy that pardon. Blood had to buy that pardon. A man's life was given. The Son of God's life was given so that we could be pardoned. He was rich because of the pardon that he received. I want to give you this tonight. Not only that, a lot of people never get past being saved. They think they get saved and that's the end. No, you get saved and that's the beginning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In December the 31st, 1959, I was born. That wasn't the end of my life. That was the beginning of my life. Amen. February 22nd, 1987, I was born again. That wasn't the beginning or the end of my spiritual life. That was the beginning of my spiritual life. And I believe with all of my heart tonight, we ought to be understanding and know that we're rich because of the person, the pardon that we received. The second thing I see in Paul's life tonight, we're rich and we are too. He is, we are, because of the purpose that he employed. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me ask you something tonight. How many people in Bloomingdale, they got up Monday morning, they got up Tuesday morning, they got up this morning, Wednesday morning, they'll get up in the morning with absolutely no purpose in life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm telling you, there's people that'll get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, lay down, go to sleep. They have no purpose in life. There's people that won't even get up and go to work. Say amen. And they have, there was a statement made. I saw it on the news this week, and they're in a big rigmarole over the dreamers. I think one of the greatest things the president said in the State of the Union address is Americans are dreamers too. I liked it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, why did it go from 800 to 1.8? He said, because there's that many of them ain't registered. Say amen. And he said that some of them lazy. Oh, they're taking the flack for that. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, if you're too lazy to go down there and register, you shouldn't get in. Say amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, they don't have a purpose. This man of God had a reason to rejoice and a reason to live. He had a Savior that was worthy of his service. And he served the Lord with gladness. He said, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for. He said, you're my joy and my crown. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. An individual that's living their life for themselves, that's not the purpose that's going to bring joy. An individual that's living their life for their Savior, that's the purpose in life that's going to bring joy. That's the purpose in life that's going to bring others to know Him. You know, when David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, he knew the reason he needed it, the main reason he needed it, because he was going to have no influence and no effect on sinners unless he had the joy of God in his life. He said, then will sinners be converted unto thee. And I believe with all my heart that's important. We're rich because of the purpose that we employ. I thank the Lord. Brother Steve has been challenging us in our visitation program. And we've got some things right now just trying to get it together. And I believe it'll all come together before that first Saturday. We're praying that it will. But Sister Jean, she told Brother Steve, I've invited three and said one of them said as soon as the weather comes, they're coming. I'm going to tell you, Sister Jean, I know this for a fact. That encouraged Brother Steve. It did. Say amen. It encouraged him, Brother Ralph. Amen. 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 Wants to come. There's a lot of people out there that come if they're invited. Somebody loved them. Amen. Took a little time with them. He was rich because of the purpose that he employed. Why do we live? Why do we exist? I believe with all my heart, the Bible said, do all that you do to the glory of God. We're here to bring glory to His name. And then I'll give you this. Not only was He rich because of the pardon that He received, and rich because of the purpose that He employed, but I believe the Apostle Paul, as well as us, was rich because of the presence he enjoyed. Let me ask you something. When's the last time? Listen, He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's what the Word of God said. But when's the last time you sensed His presence? How many knows there's a difference? Say amen. When's the last time You know, I just happen to believe, Brother Ralph, when Paul was in there and in those stocks, that back busted open and bleeding where they had beat him. I just happen to believe there was somebody that got real big in there with him. Amen. I believe there's somebody that got real sweet. Amen. In there with him. I believe that's why you don't find him complaining. You don't find him murmuring. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, if I'm on top, amen, I'm content. If I'm beat half to death, I'm content. If I live that led me down outside the city and leave me for dead, I'm content. Amen. Because the Word of God teaches that he enjoyed his presence. Amen. I believe with all my heart that's one of the things that's missing today is a quiet time. A time. Somebody said this years ago, and boy, I tell you, it was good. They said that one of the happiest days in your life, other than the day you got saved, will be the day when your quiet time becomes a time for him and not for you. I believe with all my heart, sometimes, beloved, listen, we do things because we think it's an obligation or it's a duty. But I'm going to tell you something. When it becomes a delight to get in his presence and a delight to hear his voice and a delight to receive his direction, it's a blessing. He's rich because of the presence that he enjoyed. How many believes the Lord was with him down there? The Word of God said that about Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. I believe with all my heart. One of the reasons Paul and Silas get down there at midnight, I'm telling you, singing and praying and praising God in the prison, is because the Lord was with them. Amen. Lord was with them on the outside. Lord was with them on the inside. And thank God they enjoyed his presence. I'll tell you one of the ways to pray. One of the ways to pray for our services. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 64. Brother Don, nod your head if that's right. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Isaiah 64, I believe it is. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. You know what that's saying? Isaiah's saying, we need you to show up. We need your presence. Amen. I like it, don't you? Amen. When he's present. Listen, the last thing I'll give you tonight, the riches that cannot be measured. We're rich, and so was Paul, because of the pardon he received. We're rich because of the purpose that we employ tonight. We have a reason to live. Rich because of the presence of God that we enjoy tonight. But I want to give you this tonight. I believe with all my heart we're rich because of the promise we believe tonight. Listen, the Apostle Paul, he didn't just read the Bible. He believed the Bible. God used him to write much of the Bible. But turn with me, if you will, to the book of Timothy, and I'll show you what I mean. Rich because of the promise that we believe tonight. In the book of Timothy in chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul is leaving. He's leaving off the scene. He's talking to his young preacher friend. As a matter of fact, it's his son in the faith. Can I just say something to you tonight? Every one of us in this room, we shouldn't be satisfied until God gives us at least one son or one daughter in the faith. There's somebody that we could help to Jesus. Would you say amen right there? Amen. Listen, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, Timothy, don't forget this, son. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Brother John, we was talking about that a while ago. Sometimes you feel like it. Sometimes you don't. Amen. It's not always, I guess, it's not always just, you just can't wait. Sometimes it's a burden. Sometimes you do feel like, well, is this going anywhere? But he told Timothy, you stay in that book, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Today's generation, listen to me carefully. Listen to me. It would read like this. Entertain, entertain, and entertain. That's what it would read in today's generation. I like what Brother Danny said years ago. Somebody told him, said, you're not supposed to build a church on singing. He said, yeah, I know, but he said, it's hard to build one without it. I like that. I like singing. That's the truth. How many of y'all like singing? I love it. It warms my heart, amen. It causes me to want to worship when it's the right kind of singing. Say amen. The right kind of singing is pointing people to Jesus. The right kind of singing is pointing people to Jesus. The right kind of singing, not magnifying us, it's magnifying Him. The right kind of preaching is pointing people to Jesus. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'll say this to you tonight. Longsuffering, sometimes when they are preaching right, Brother Rose, they're reproving, they're rebuking, they're exhorting. The preaching's right. But it's not totally right without longsuffering. What's that mean? That means this, beloved. There's not too many people in this room tonight that got right the first time they heard the truth. Amen. And say, let me say this. After we got saved by the grace of God, not before, listen, after we got saved by the grace of God, not too many people in this room got right the first time God dealt with them about something after they got saved by the grace of God. What's that mean? That means glad He's long-suffering. So if we're going to be like Him, we need to have some long-suffering about us too. We need to realize God don't work in a microwave fashion, in an instant world. Sometimes, I believe many times, we've buried mothers and buried fathers that didn't get their prayer answered, Brother Ralph, till they was on the other side. Amen. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And they believe God. And here Paul said, preach the word. He said, I want you to reprove. I want you to rebuke. I want you to exhort. But I want you to do it with long suffering and doctrine. He said, time's going to come when they will not hear, will not endure a sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why you got people writing Bibles. Listen to me. They don't want to say he. My wife and I were listening, and both of us, good night. I can't remember what it was, Miss C. Was it a news broadcast? Or they had on there, they were interviewing somebody. Was it in Baltimore? No, it was in Washington. It was in a church in Washington. Help me remember, honey. Instead of saying, our Father, what did they want to say? Our person? So we need to change that. We don't need to say our Father who art in heaven. We need to say our person who art in heaven. Because God has no gender. And come on there and said, you know, there's something went on between chapter 2 and chapter 3 in the book of Genesis. Male and female made He them. Say amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. This world, the Bible said the time's going to come. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. Paul is getting ready, beloved, listen, to experience the promise that he believed. The Word of God said here, that he to himself, he said, they're going to turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He said, but Timothy, I want you to do this. I want you to watch. Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul said, listen, I'm not going to be able to encourage you much longer, for I'm now ready to be offered. The promise is about to be fulfilled in my life. The time of my departure is at hand. And the Word of God said here, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. How many believes that Paul believed that? He wasn't just saying words. And he said, which the Lord, the righteous judge. And beloved, He is a righteous judge. He always gets it right. Amen. Will give me it that day. This is what encourages me tonight. He said, not to me only, but unto all them also that love him. All them also that love his appearing. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Paul's encouraging a son in the faith. He can't get it off his mind. Let me tell you what the ministry's about. There's positives, and thank God there is, but there's negatives. Amen. Everybody don't want to follow the Lord. There's things that'll happen in the ministry that'll hurt you. But I'm going to tell you right now, we just have to keep going on. Believe the promise of God's word. How many believes he's coming? How many believes he's coming quickly? How many believes he's coming at an hour when this world don't even think about it? Amen. He's coming. He's coming. Let me ask you something. How'd you like to be part of that crooked bunch and what's been going on up there in Washington for the last couple of years when he comes? I'm going to tell you something right now. They're going to be an outfit in more trouble than they are. And that's people standing in pulpits across America telling people they can get to heaven without being born again. Telling people they can get to heaven without the blood. Telling people that it don't matter what you believe. Talking about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's going to be a reckoning day for preaching a lie to people. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, aren't you? Glad I have a purpose to live. I'm glad tonight he pardoned me. Listen, I say that tonight, not just in salvation, but I'm glad, thank God, even since I've been saved, I understand what the pardon and the forgiveness of God is all about. Amen. Appreciate you coming tonight. I mean, he's glad you come tonight.